Good evening, everyone. Welcome to The Finer Point. This is Dorothy, your host for this evening, and it's November 10th, 2015 already. Goodness. We are very blessed tonight to have Lindsay to talk to about her YouTube videos. I have put her a link to her YouTube site on the show notes. So welcome to the broadcast, Lindsay.
Thanks, Dorothy. Thank you so much for having me.
So do you want to tell us a little bit about yourself so we can get to know you a little bit better?
Sure. I'm a fairly new believer. I've been saved for about 2 years now. I'm a single mom. I have two beautiful little boys. And the Lord helped me open my own cleaning business. So I actually run a cleaning business, and I stay quite busy with that and my boys. And, I love my favorite thing to do with my boys is probably baking. They love to bake, and they love to help me. So we do that, and praise God, we learn about the Lord, and,
That sounds wonderful. So do you have a special testimony about how and when you got saved or when you got to know Father?
You know, with my testimony video about, I don't know, did you want me to go through that whole episode too, or just kind of a summary of all of it?
Just a summary, you know, a highlight reel.
Okay. Well, I guess, you know, I had really come to the end of myself, and I was pretty desperate. I got saved right before I found out that I was pregnant with my youngest son, and at that time, I had just recently broken up with his father. So, the Lord met me in the strangest place, I tell you. I actually met the Lord through my youngest son's grandmother, who came out, wasn't supposed to come out, but came out all the way from California to live here. And then she was so inspirational to me, and this woman had been through just outrageous things. I mean, she had grown up in South Central California in gangs, in and out of prison a few times, and this woman had really seen darkness, and to see the love of the Lord on her and how much she loved God, it was just so, the Holy Spirit pricked my heart then, you know, when she started slowly mentioning things. And from there I asked her questions, and you know, the Lord just took it from there, because all other times that people tried to speak the gospel to me in my life, I was completely closed off to it. So I'm not sure why it opened up this time. I think really I was just desperate. I had nothing else to hang on to, and unfortunately that's what it takes for a lot of us. To meet the Lord, we have to come to the end of ourselves, and then he meets us there. So, I met the Lord at that point, which is just amazing because, you know, 3 or 4 weeks later, I found out I was pregnant. So thank the Lord that he was holding my hand through that, going through that by myself. And, you know, the rest is really just history. There's so much he's done in my life since then. I mean, I'm a completely changed person. I am truly a new creature, and that's truly what the Lord does to you. Truly, just everything about you. He just changes to his will. It's beautiful.
I've always, well, it took me a while to figure out that, you know, instead of us striving to change, to conform to what we think a good Christian should be. I've noticed over time, the Father really does that changing for us. He just changes our desire so that we no longer desire the things of the world.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so.
Certainly he does. I know. I mean, I used to drink and smoke and do drugs. And, I mean, I went through all of that in my life and just the person I was. And it's just funny. It's just, it's, you know, and it doesn't, you know, I really gear my channel towards new believers because he doesn't change you all at once. It's not an instant bam and then you're changed. It's, yes, there's an initial change. There's an initial experience that everybody has with the Lord when they meet the Lord. And then it's a process. You know, it's kind of like starting a new job. I mean, really, you're going to make mistakes still. You're going to learn. You're going to go through trial and error. But slowly, you start getting the hang of things and you start learning the ways of the business. You know, you start learning the ways of the Lord and you start craving those ways instead of your own. It's just, it's amazing how he does really, truly change your desires. He really does. You know, I just, my desires now are surrounded around him, just wanting to know him better every single day, wanting to teach my children about him, wanting to serve him in any way I can. Really, you know, it's what it's all about.
And what was your initial inspiration or what spurred you to start creating and sharing on YouTube? That's pretty bold in my mind.
I guess so. I had it on my heart for a few months before I actually did it. And I just kept praying about it because I wanted to make sure that it was from the Father, you know, and just not something that, you know, my flesh wanted to do or something that, you know, how we think, oh, this will be good for the Lord, and that's not what the Lord wants you to do. You know, I didn't want it to be one of those situations. So I just kind of kept my peace about it, kept praying about it. And, you know, eventually it just, that urging from the Holy Spirit got so strong that it was just randomly, I sat down one day and I was like, okay, I'm going to do this. And, you know, 30 minutes later, I had my first video done, which was my testimony. I had to play it back to myself to make sure I didn't sound like a complete fool, but I was like, okay, we'll go with it. We'll see what happens. So, you know, my whole goal with that is just to help some woman out there. I know there is some woman or women out there who, you know, are going through the same things that I was, and the devil was attacking them or is attacking them, and I just really hope that it brings hope and encouragement to women out there, especially. And I guess my testimony wasn't even supposed to be geared towards that specifically with the topic of abortion, but the Lord just had his way with it, and I went with it. So, yeah.
It was an amazing testimony. It really was. And I liked the part about abortion because, you know, something that a lot of people don't understand is that above and beyond what happens to the child during abortion, mm-hmm. there mm-hmm. is backlash for the woman. I mean, that is very traumatic. Mm-hmm. A lot of them end up with that PTSD and depression, and they can't even figure out why. They never connect the dots. But
oh yeah,
I've seen that, you know, and it's just women, I think, get so involved in being caretakers of the kids and the husband and the mothers and the fathers, you know, that we lose sight of what we need to do to keep ourselves whole.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yes,
and abortion,
we certainly do.
Abortion is a big one. It really is. I mean, that on so many different levels, it's amazing how devastating that whole thing is. And I do believe it's one of the machinations of the enemy. I really do.
Oh, no doubt. It's, you know, and the fact that it's not just any sin, it's considered an abomination to the Lord. You know, that
mm-hmm.
it almost takes it up a step further there. And, you know, a lot of women that think about this, you know, they don't really think about what's going to physically happen to their babies. I guess maybe because their baby's not in front of them, they don't think about it literally being torn to pieces and sucked out of them and, you know, sold for, you know, whatever they sell those parts for. They don't think about that. It's such a selfish act to really take a life away that you didn't ordain to take that life away. That wasn't your position, you know? And I mentioned this in my video because it's such a good point, but, you know, how many people out there are having unprotected sex all the time and are not getting pregnant, you know? If the Lord did not want a baby in your womb, he would not have put one there, you know? And
exactly.
I think that we
exactly.
really just... Yeah, we need to bow to the Lord. You know, this is the Lord's doing. And truly, my littlest guy, he changed my life. He changed my life, and I could not imagine life without him. And, you know, I'm so glad that I did not fall victim to something the devil was trying to put on me, because being such a new believer, it would have been really easy to be deceived by something like this, you know?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely.
I think this is my main goal of my channel, is just because within the last 2 years, I feel like I've been so deceived in certain areas, you know, it's through with the whole faith, just different subjects on the faith. And the more I started to pray, the more I started to read my Bible, and the more I started to really, truly crave the truth, and not just some version of the truth that some pastor told me was so, you know, the more I started to search it out for myself, the Lord really started opening my eyes. And within, you know, a very, very short matter of time, he just started exposing things. You know, Lindsay, you're believing this, that's a lie. You know, he just starts showing you things. You know how the Lord works. You pray about something, and then in the most amazing
yes.
way, he shows you. He shows you. He's so kind. He's such a good father. Gentle.
And patient. I like his patience.
Oh, yeah. Me too. I wish I had more of his patience.
And if anybody wants to know where to find out about abortion, it doesn't say the word in Scripture, but look at the passing your children unto Moloch. Search that out in Scripture. And then go and look in historical documents and see what that actually was. And that's abortion.
You know what's funny, Dorothy? I was just reading that part today. That is in Isaiah, I want to say, chapter 57 or 53. See if I can find it. I was just reading about that today. You know, the child sacrifice thing, that's actually related to Christmas and the whole celebration that dates back to a pagan holiday called Saturnalia or Saturnalia. And,
yeah.
You know, they did that. They did that with children. They would sacrifice their firstborn to appease Moloch, or really Baal, devil, and... Yeah, they were thinking that it would bring, you know, fertility and abundance and all that kind of stuff that the gods they were, you know, sacrificing to stood for. Just an abomination. I'm going to be doing a video on that too as well. I'm actually getting a bunch of information ready about why Christians should not celebrate Christmas. Because it's actually really evil and pagan.
It is. It is. And also, the Moloch thing is also related to Easter. That's where coloring eggs, they used to use the blood of the sacrificed babies to color the eggs red. That makes me want to cry just saying it. You know, just...
Oh, yeah, I mean, that kind of stuff, it just makes me sick. I mean, man, some of the stuff I was reading about that they actually do during the week of their you know, Saturnalia, it was eye-opening. And it was like, wow. I mean, people don't even think about it. You know, in almost every church you walk into nowadays, well, what do? For the holidays? They're celebrating Christmas, you know? It's sad. It's sad that we don't look into the whys about why we do things that we do. And that's kind of my thing. I guess I don't want to be doing something considered tradition. I want to know why we do it. I want to know the origin behind it. And so searching these things out, it's really, really shed light on a lot of things. And it's made me realize that Christians are doing a lot of things that they should not be doing. The Lord did not.
I don't think they realize too that Father has emotions.
Yeah.
And when you are basically bowing down to other gods by doing this tradition, and those other gods were real. They
mm-hmm.
still are real, spiritual. They're mm-hmm. what we call demons, you know, and the
right.
fallen ones. It hurts his feelings.
Right.
The first time I made that connection that I could actually do something to hurt his feelings
mm-hmm.
really stunned me. It really made me dig much more into the traditions of man in the holidays.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just to think about Jesus weeping, the Father weeping over things that are going on in the world. When I realized that too, I just remember weeping because I guess, you know, as a new believer, it's hard to imagine the Lord as somebody with emotions. You know, you imagine him seated at the right hand of the Father and, you know, just so sovereign and he is, but, you know, he made us in his likeness. So why wouldn't he have feelings if he gave us feelings, you know? And his feelings are just so pouring out of the pages of the Bible. If you just read it, it's almost like he really you're able to understand so much better through emotions.
So you basically are planning to deal with women's issues, of course, however Father leads you. I'm sure you're going to go on your YouTube channel and on
mm-hmm.
whatever you do. But you're thinking at this point you're going to lean towards women's issues?
Yes and no. I think I want to do specifically new believers. I feel like stuff that I stumbled on personally, just like, okay, the subject of tithing, I want to do one on that. Just, I would say certain things that made me, that were a stumbling block for me, you know? Relationships, you know, all kinds of relationships, just.
Yes.
Handling them godly. I wanted to do one specifically on it's not what you know, it's who you know. You know, we can know the Bible front and back. You can know everything, you know, statistically. But if you don't know Jesus, if you don't have a relationship with him, it's pointless. You know, and I don't think a lot of people really grasp that. I mean, we can have a serious, intimate relationship with the Lord, you know? It's not just, it's a two-sided thing. It is a two-sided thing. And I think people just really are so concentrated on trying to follow all the rules and trying to do this right and do that right, and then making time for their pagan holidays. They're totally missing the point, you know? They're missing the point of the relationship with the Lord and truly getting to know him. He does speak to you through his word. There's been so many times where I've been praying and I will ask the Father for a word, you know, Lord, please give me a word. I love hearing from you. I just, you know, confirm with me about what I'm praying or asking for a word. And I will literally open up the Bible, and the first thing, the first random page I open to, and the first thing my eyes go to, I read it, and it literally is almost word for word what I have just prayed to him. It's almost him literally confirming to me, I'm sitting right here with you, dear. I'm listening to you. You know, it's just, it's so cool when things like that happen. And the more you give, the more he gives. It's people need to understand that this is a serious thing. This isn't just, oh, go to church Sunday and pay my respects and then I'm done. No, I mean, this is like a relationship, you know. I cannot remember what pastor was listening to who said this, but it really stuck with me. You know, if you picture you're in the Lord's relationship, just like any other relationship, okay, let's say a man and a wife, for instance, they're going to be communicating daily, you know, not just a little, you know, two minute here, 5 minute there. Like some people just give 2 minute prayers and 5 minute prayers, or they say a prayer before they go to bed, or, you know, then they go to church on Sunday and maybe they'll pick up their Bible if they have time. You know, it's the same thing with a relationship. If you only give a minimum amount of time, how are you even going to have a successful relationship? I mean, you're really not. It's going to be totally non-existent, and it's going to be dysfunctional. There's going to be holes. It's going to be missing. It's going to be lacking from the depth and richness that you could have. And that's the same thing with the Lord. I mean, he is a jealous God. He wants our attention. You know, he demands it. If we want to hear from him, if we want to truly experience the riches of his glory, we have to show him. You know, there's just so many people that just do the lip service. And actions speak louder than words. You know, I remember that saying from when I was a little kid, and it has always stuck with me. And because it is so true, you know, our actions speak so much louder than our words. And as soon as your actions line up with true affection for the Father, oh, it is amazing the affection that he pours back out on you. It is just truly amazing. And I feel blessed to even have experienced any of that. I feel blessed to even have been saved. I feel so blessed that he didn't leave me in my sin. He called me, and then he chose me, and then he gave me the ability to be faithful, you know. Praise God. Praise God.
And one thing I've noticed over the years, and we won't talk about how many years, like with any relationship, it does deepen over time. Mm-hmm. Like a 5-year marriage has a different flavor than a 20 or 30 year marriage, you know?
Oh, certainly. Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know how they say two become one, you know, and eventually you and your husband, you just sort of mold into each other. You're the ebb and flow. They're so you're just balanced. You know, he is you, you are him. Same thing with the Father. I mean, I cannot wait, you know, to see where my relationship goes with him. And, you know, we are truly molded into the image of Christ through the years in our relationship with the Father. And I feel like nowadays, because we're in the end times and because things are starting to get so fired up here, I feel like a lot of new believers that have just recently come to the Lord, probably maybe let's say in the last 5 years, I sort of feel like he's taking like what would be a 50-year relationship with him and condensing it down into a 5-year. Like he is forcing me into this mold. I mean, and it's wonderful. I love it. I say, bring it on, Father. Thank you so much. But it's just, I guess I've heard from a lot of people that for a new believer, I seem fairly spiritually mature compared to maybe where they were at 2 years. But I hear that from a lot of new believers, you know, that they feel the same about their relationship with the Lord. So I kind of feel like it's just happening on a wide scale.
Well, I think it has to do with being kind. Yeah, it's the end is like the those guys who hold up the sign, the end is near. It really is near.
Yeah.
And he is
it
bringing
is, yeah.
forth. He's raising the babies quickly. He
mm-hmm.
really is. I've seen that myself.
Yes. Yeah.
And I guess that's a good thing, except when you're old and you get it in your head, it's just like in the natural, you get it in your head that, you know, a kid is going to be a kid for a long time. So
mm-hmm.
it's an adjustment to deal with newly saved people that have such a maturity level. You know, it's unexpected.
Yeah.
But
it's got to be refreshing, though, you know, from your standpoint and that it's just, you don't have to sit and wait for us to get it forever.
That is true. It is easier.
Yeah.
But one thing that concerns me is the lack of teaching in the churches that people go to when they become saved. Where do you go
mm-hmm.
to get your education when you first become saved and you don't know anything? You go to the churches. And there's
right.
no real teaching there. There just isn't. And my heart breaks for those babes in Christ who are looking for that spiritual meal and having to really hunt and scratch and dig for it. But so
well,
that's
you know,
why I have the portal, you know. So.
Yeah, and that's kind of that's kind of one of the reasons why I'm doing this channel, because you know, that was me. That is me. You know, when I was newly saved, the first church I went to, when you're newly saved and you really don't know anything about the Bible, you want to believe the pastor does. You want to believe the man that has a congregation of thousands that he's preaching to is well-versed in the Word and that he's not a wolf in sheep's clothing. You want to believe that he knows what he's talking about and that he can rightly divide the word. Well, the problem is that most of them don't. Most of them don't, you know, and that's the scary part about this, is that the deception is so thick that when you first come into the Lord, you first get saved, you know, you don't know which way to turn. I didn't. You know, I was eating up everything my pastor said for, you know, a few months before the Spirit started telling me, you know, test the spirits, Lindsay, test them, you know, and I really didn't get that revelation from God until I started personally praying, you know, and seeking and asking for truth. And the more I did, you know, I would be sitting in church on Sunday and I would hear the pastor say something. And I'm like, you know, that doesn't sit right with me. It doesn't sound right. I would go home and I would pull out of the Bible where he's talking about, and I would reread the whole thing. And to my surprise, at first I was like, well, you know, the Bible doesn't say that. This guy's talking about stuff the Bible doesn't say that. Why did he say that? Why did he preach like that? Why is he giving these false messages? And little by little, you know, I felt the Holy Spirit, you know, urge me like, all right, you've had enough. I want you out of here now, you know. And he called me out of the church. I tried to go to a couple more after that, and it was like I only made it like four times in each one, and the Lord was like, no, let's go. So I just kind of have been in my own little section of wilderness here in the Midwest, but I'm loving it because, you know, the Lord has brought me some amazing people. Man, Benjamin Baruch, what an amazing mentor, what an amazing man of God, and just some people I met at the Days of Awe conference. That was so amazing, and, you know, those sisters I still talk to, and what a blessing it's been, and the Lord's confirmed it so many times over that was really, truly a divine appointment. And so, you know, don't be afraid, I guess as a new believer, don't be afraid to not necessarily be in a church. Start praying to the Lord and asking the Lord to bring you true brothers and sisters in Christ that can truly lead you and not fill you with any BS. Just give you the truth, you know. And he will deliver. I mean, he wants the best for his children. He wants us to be well nourished, well taken care of. He wants us to get past all this milk so we can start going to meat. He doesn't want us sitting on milk forever. And, you know, if you ask him, he will provide. You know, if you're willing to put the time in and the effort, he's more than willing. It's just amazing how the Lord opens up the word to you.
One of my favorite psalms to pray for a long time now is Psalm 119, about him teaching. 119, it's a long one, and it's about, you know, teach me your ways, Father.
Oh, it's beautiful.
And, you know, order my path. I'm paraphrasing, of course.
Mm-hmm.
But that's my favorite. If you want to get a response, pray that song, and he will answer. He is so faithful, because he tells us, you know, seek ye first the kingdom of God.
Yes.
So if you seek him first,
mm-hmm.
everything else falls into place.
Does. It really does. And I know it can be, you know, scary for new believers, because it's such a shift, it's such a large change to be made in your mind, you know, the way our mind is set up to just handle everyday events and thoughts and everything. I mean, we really have to change our whole mind around, you know, because what we've been ingrained with in the world is just so backwards, and it's hard to really deprogram. And it's really like the military in a sense. I mean, the Lord's going to break your mind down and build it back up, you know, the right way. And it's just, it's a hard process, but it's so worth it. It's wonderful. It's the best thing anybody could ever do. I do love the Psalms too. I love reading through them and praying them as well.
And I like looking at what was happening when they were written. Like,
yeah,
you know.
I love that.
Just gives
exactly.
such context.
It does, yeah, yeah. I like the ones where, well, in Psalm 19, you know, where 12 through 14, verses 12 through 14, I love reading that to the Lord, because it really helps pull things out of you and bring things to the forefront. And also, I want to say Psalm 139, it's really about cleansing us from our secret faults and keeping us from presumptuous sins, and, you know, asking the Lord to be aware of what we're meditating in our hearts about, and you know, ask him to cleanse us. And if he finds anything unholy or unrighteous whatsoever, to pull it out, to remove it and cleanse us, and you know, making me a clean heart. If we really just start praying those things to him, and I did, and let me tell you, you know, I read Benjamin's book, The Out of the Darkness, and when I read that, the whole stance of, you know, asking the Father to pull all that junk out of you that he does not want in you, that maybe we are not even aware of. Man, when I started praying that stuff, it's almost like the Lord would just bring glimpses into my mind of past things that I did. And he would really show me truly how it affected others around me, you know, and I didn't notice it at the time, you know, things I said or things I did. He was so gentle about it, but he would keep showing me as I would pray. You know, I would say, Father, is there anything that I need to make right with anybody? You know, what do I need to make right with? What do I need to repent of? What do I need to know? You know, what have I done in the past that I can learn from? Pull all of this out of me. I don't want to hang on to any of it. And it was just amazing. I mean, he literally would pull things to the forefront of my mind that I would never have remembered. I mean, even things like where he literally was like, I want you to tell this person the truth. And you know, our pride, it's tied in with our reputation, and we don't want to ruin our reputation. You know, our flesh cares about what people think about us. Our flesh doesn't want to ruin any of that. Our flesh wants people to think that we're awesome and never wrong, and, you know, all of the above, and to really just humble yourself before the Father and to just do what he says and risk your reputation and risk, you know, whatever else. It's, first of all, what a rush. And second of all, it's like you feel so cleaned out afterwards. Like you've just gotten a burden lifted up off of you. Can you imagine how long the Lord wanted to take that away from you and you just kept hanging on to it, didn't realize it, you know? It's like this is all for our good, Romans 8:28. You know, everything is worked for our good, everything, even if it hurts, guys.
Yeah, and it's also, you know, I love that he goes back and heals old wounds that we didn't even know existed because we pushed them down in our minds.
Yeah.
Also part of the sanctification.
Mm-hmm.
He's just, when he says he's the healer, he means it.
Mm-hmm. Very much.
Now, is there anything in particular that Father, well, we've kind of touched on this already. What is Father pushing for the message for this point in time? Do you sense that it's the end? We are near the end?
Oh, yeah. And
what's the main thing you think people should be thinking about right now or doing?
Honestly, deliverance. You know, that topic has come up a lot in the last couple weeks, you know, reading and everything else. And really just the whole topic of deliverance. You know, is it possible for Christians to have demons? Okay, well, my belief is yes. And I feel like Scripture really backs that up. You know, this is specifically why Jesus always paired, you know, preaching with casting out demons, always, and healing from sickness. He always did that. It was always together. He never did one without the other, you know. And he never sent his apostles or any disciples out without equipping them on how to deliver people from demons and how to cast out demons as well as preach the gospel and heal people from sicknesses. I feel like there is no, what am I trying to say? I don't think people think about the whole deliverance thing. I think it scares the crap out of people, to be totally honest with you. You know, the thought of demons, the thought of, you know, having a demon, you know, controlling a certain part of your personality, I think it really freaks people out. But, you know, here's the thing. For instance, okay, Derek Prince, I don't know if you ever listened to him. What an amazing man of God. He has had an amazing ministry on deliverance. And that man, he knew so much about the subject, he wasn't afraid of it. He took it head on. He even came out and talks about in his books, right now I'm reading They Shall Expel Demons is what it's called by Derek Prince. You know, he even goes into in-depth experience about the Lord delivering him from a demon of depression. It was a spirit of heaviness is, you know, actually what it was. But right now, in these times that we are facing, we need to be delivered. We need to be fully healed, fully whole. We need to have our whole armor on. We need to be at the top of our game. You know, that would be like an athlete walking around with a bum knee. How is he going to be ready for the Olympics? How? He's not. You know, it's I feel like there's so many people walking around these days, so many Christians that need deliverance from things. And they are not educated whatsoever on demons, on the different spirits people can actually have, spiritual warfare. It's people don't want to delve into it, Dorothy, because they're afraid of it. And honestly, you know, the more I read on this, fear, being super fearful of it, is actually an indicator that you need deliverance. And so, you know, I just feel like it's been on my heart pretty heavily in the last couple weeks to just start researching it, start reading the Bible about, you know, whenever Jesus went to go deliver people or preach the gospel, what, you know, how he did it, you know, read everything verse for verse and really study it out. Because that's what we need to be doing in these last days. We need to be equipping ourselves. We need to be asking the Father to deliver us. You know, we can really, for the most part, people can deliver themselves. You know, I went through a prayer by myself and I truly felt heaviness leave me, truly. And that was just a couple of weeks ago. And then I was like, wow. And from that point, I really dove in. And, you know, I don't know if you listen to Omega Man Radio at all, Shannon Davis. He does.
Not very often. I don't very often have the time.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I listened just to a couple of his. He's got a good ministry online. You know, if you guys just search Derek Prince on YouTube, Derek Prince Deliverance, or go to Omega Man Radio and search Deliverance, you can sit there and not only be educated. Derek Prince has some great, great material on how to be educated about how demons work, the symptoms of maybe being under, you know, being oppressed by one. And there's just so much great material out there, and you can go through this yourself, guys. And I referred one of my sisters to a Derek Prince video as well, and she called me the next day and told me that she as well had an experience and knows that she was delivered. She knows she was delivered from an unclean spirit. And the thing is that we need to be at the top of our game. We need to be versed in this. We cannot be afraid of it because we have the Spirit of Christ living in us. The same power that resurrected Christ from the dead is inside of us. We have that. We need to really hone that. We need to hone those skills that the Lord gave us. You know, he gave us this plethora of weapons, and we're sitting here like, you know, holding none of them sometimes. You know, or we're half armed. I mean, we really need to get a lock on this and start figuring out who our enemy is, and how we defend ourselves and how we defend and pray for others. You know, this is just such a vast subject, but I guess for tonight, I just really felt like it was on my heart to say something about this because It's so important. It's so important. And, you know, when we sin, it opens the door. Okay. That doesn't mean that we automatically, you know, just let demons in. Okay. That doesn't mean they automatically just walk in, but we've opened the door. You know, it really depends. I think every situation is very different. However, you know, you're making yourself susceptible, and we need to be careful. This is one of the reasons why the Lord is so adamant about us following him and us listening to him. He knows what can happen if we don't listen to him, you know, and he wants his children ready for the battle. He doesn't want his children unequipped. And especially think about how heartbreaking it is for the father when he sits there and he's like, I gave you all these weapons and you're not even picking them up. I gave you all these weapons and you're barely using any of them, you know. It's just, it's so much more serious than most Christians will give time to think about. I think it's just terrifying to them. I don't believe a demon can possess your body, like your full being, because we are possessed by Christ, okay? But there are certain parts of your personality, you know, there are there is demonic influence. It can influence you. And we have to be so aware and vigilant and sober. And I don't know how many times the Bible urges that and just drives that point home. We need to be sober and aware. We need to always be looking around. We need to always be prayed up with the Lord and you know, on our A game. The times when we are, and Christians for sure, I mean, if demons want to attack anybody, they're going to want to attack the people that could hurt them the most, Christians. You know, of course they're going to attack non-believers. I mean, that's a given. But think how much the kingdom of darkness wants to bring the kingdom of God down. Think about how much they want to destroy us. They're going to do everything that they possibly can. And if Christians sit here and remain ignorant about how demons work and about how they attack, well, then we pretty much just handed in, you know, we might as well just let them walk right in. I mean, we need to be very vigilant about this and very serious, and don't be afraid. The Lord has you in his arms. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid to pray to the Lord and ask him to deliver you. Do not be afraid to pray to the Lord and ask him to show you, you know, if there is maybe demonic influence in your life and you're not aware of it. Because they know how to mess with our emotions. They know how to, they know the human anatomy. You know, the devil knows the human anatomy. The devil knows the Bible better than most Christians. The devil knows how to maneuver. He's had 2,000 years to hone his skills. So, you know, we need to be really aware of this. I guess I don't know any other better word than to be vigilant and be aware and be sober. Period.
And also take heart in knowing that Father has given us authority.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus to cast these things out. We
yes.
have the bigger stick.
Exactly. When Jesus was being tempted, the only response he ever gave the devil was, "It is written." And he literally quoted back Bible to the
yep.
devil. And then the devil would shut up. He would try again. Jesus would say, "It is written." And then the devil would shut up. You know, we really need to follow the example of Jesus. You know, if we feel like we're being oppressed, well, in what way are you being oppressed? Okay, think about that first. What way are you being oppressed? Are you being oppressed with negative thoughts? Are you being oppressed with negative emotions? You know, go from there. And just search out in the scripture for under those subjects, you know, your simple concordance, and start your search from there. We have this, you're right, Dorothy, we have this amazing weapon, this sword, this literally the word. Jesus is the word. We have the word. You know, we have the victory already too. I mean, we have to know that. We have to really hone that and know that and let that soak into our spirits. We have the victory, guys. We win the race. We win the war. We win, period. So we should not be letting the devil antagonize us and torment us. There should not be fear. The Lord did not give us a spirit of fear, you know? We need to be the warriors that the Lord called us to be. And the Lord says so many times, be courageous. Be courageous. Do not fear. I don't know. I can't remember how many times it says that in the Bible. I was reading like 300 and some. It says, do not fear. I mean, that's once for almost every day of the year. You know, do not fear. I'm pretty sure the Lord was trying to make a point with that.
And yet we still fear.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's a natural thing to, like, feel the fear, but it's how we deal with it, you know?
Yeah, the definition of courage, I believe, is not having no fear, but
mm-hmm.
acting even though you are fearful. So
yes.
And
yes,
scripture
exactly.
gives us, you know, we know the enemy gets to us by trying to establish a legal foothold.
Mm-hmm.
He has to be invited in through a sin of an open door, through an old emotional wounding. You know, they
mm-hmm.
just try and speak it, and you just have to, you know, ask Father to identify where the opening is
mm-hmm.
and close it and stand on your authority in Jesus and says, okay, no legal right, goodbye, you know, get lost
right.
in Jesus'
right.
name.
You know, and this is where asking the Father to clean your heart out really helps, because he brings to the surface a bunch of things, you know, that could potentially be harming you. I mean, really,
yes.
they are harming you, but I mean, they could be making you susceptible to attacks. And, you know, I think people should also be more aware of generational curses and that
Absolutely.
Type of thing, because, yeah, I mean, really, I sat and thought about this. I was like, well, I sort of know what my grandparents did in their lives, but my great-grandparents and my great-great-grandparents, I had no idea. No idea. Maybe could figure out their occupation, but you have no idea for the most part what your, you know, ancestors were really involved in. You have no clue. I mean, most people don't. Some few, I guess, do, but, you know, we have no idea what kind of occult things our ancestors were doing and what doors they were opening and, you know, what vices they had that they never dealt with, or if they were Christians at all, you know, which would obviously be even worse. I mean, we just don't know, but we have to be aware of it. We have to be very aware, and we have to deal with it. We cannot ignore it. We cannot just, you know, shut the door to it because of fear. We can't. This is not the time to do that. Our time is running out, and we need to be on our A game. We need to be the best for the Lord. We owe that to the Lord, guys. We owe that to the Lord. I mean, he gave his life for us. The least we could do is be have all of our armor on and ready to fight, you know?
Yes, there is a reason for the armor. It's not to look pretty.
Oh, yeah. Right. Oh, yeah. It's to be victorious.
Okay, we're at the top of the hour. Did you want to, do you have anything else you want to tell the listeners? Or if so, I can play a song, Deb can play a song, and we can continue on the other side.
Yeah, we can just go to the song. I think we gave enough for people to think about, for sure, with this whole subject.
Okay, and then you want to continue on the other side? Think about what you want to tell that what you feel Father needs thinks. Yeah, I'm stumbling over my words here. What Father is leading you to put in front of the listening audience at this point in time? So Deb,
okay.
if you would play the song that we discussed,
mm-hmm.
and we'll be right back.
There's a true story of a small village in India. And in this village, there was this family that came to a saving faith in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. This agitated the village so much, and everybody became so upset that an angry mob gathered and shoved them into the public square. The village chief confronted them, and he said to the man, "If you and your family will not recant your faith, you all will surely die." The man didn't know what to say or what to do. And so the only thing that came to mind for him were the words of the song that he himself had composed when he had first surrendered his life to God. And so he began to sing, "I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back." And with that, horrifically, his children were killed.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back.
He was given another chance, this time with his wife's life on the line. And yet he continued to sing, though none go with me, still I will follow. No turning back, no turning back.
Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. No turning back, no turning back.
After her tragic death, he was given one final opportunity, this time to save himself. And yet he continued to sing.
Cross before me, the world behind. The cross before me, the world behind me. The cross before me, the world behind me. No turning.
Even though that man and his family died on that day, something remarkable happened. A seed was planted in the heart of that village chief, a seed that began to grow over time, and eventually he called the community together in that very same neighborhood, in that very same square, and he renounced his former faith and declared his allegiance to Jesus Christ. And a celebration broke out in that moment, and the gospel began to flourish and to grow in that community, not just in that village, but across the whole region, because they had seen real faith, and they knew the true character of God because of a family that believed and sacrificed, even under the penalty of death.
Song always gets to me.
Yeah, I like that. That was really beautiful.
That's the song they played when I was being baptized as a child. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was really.
That's cool.
And then I found this one with the background of how the song came to be. And it makes it even more, you know, emotional. But.
Yeah.
And that's where we need to get to in our lives with Christ, is we've got to get to that point where we see there is no turning back. Because I think it was Jesus asked some of the apostles, and I forget which one replied, and he said, you know, if you want to leave me, you can leave me now. And there's no other place. Where would we go? There's no other place to get the truth.
Right, yeah. I want to say it was Peter. Where are we going to go?
So, you know, one of the things I think most important in these end times that's going to see us through is sharpening our discernment.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're going to be able
or we're going to need to be able to discern not just between the holy and the profane, but the truth from the lies, the right way to go, to not fall into gation.
Mm-hmm. I think that's the hardest thing for people nowadays. I mean, I feel like that's one of my struggles. You know, I personally feel like I'm always praying for discernment because it's so hard. I mean, with the enemy masking himself as an angel of light, it's hard sometimes to see through it. It's hard to always know which way to go or the right thing to do, and you feel like you pray about it and you're not getting an answer, and, you know, it's hard. It's hard. We all, I feel like, maybe feel that same way at times. So if anybody else feels like that, don't be discouraged, because I feel it too. I came across Ecclesiastes, a couple verses that I really like in chapter 12, right at the end. And I'll start, I think, in 12. And further by these, my son, be admonished of making many books, there is no end, and much study is a weariness of the flesh. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. You know, so I think if we really want discernment and we really want the riches of his glory, if we really want him to reveal certain things to us, number one, fear God. You know, what is it? Psalms 111:10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It's just so true. It's so true. Whatever we want, whatever we need, you know, whatever we need to be equipped with, whatever we need more of, especially discernment, such a good point to make, Dorothy, is that we need to start at the basics, you know, fear God, reverence and respect him, and keep his commandments. You know, it says straight out, this is the whole duty of man. That's what we are made for. We are made to do what the Father says. We are made to respect him. We are made for his glory. We are not made for our own. And I really feel like if we strive for that every day, if we strive for that, we are going to get that from the Lord, what we need. We are going to get that discernment, that wisdom, that knowledge, that understanding, that revelation from his word, you know, that we so desperately need in these times. I feel like fearing him and keeping his commandments really allows him to work through us and really allows him to communicate with us well. You know, I feel like having one foot in and one foot out, I mean, that doesn't work. It doesn't give you very good communication either. There's one thing I was thinking about during the song, or, you know, the break that was playing. It's something that I kind of have talked about in my other videos. But, you know, think about it. For instance, whatever you're going to do or what you're going to say, would Jesus say that? Would Jesus do that? Would Jesus roll that joint with you and smoke it? No. You know, one thing that we really need to do is wherever we can control our side of things, control it. You know, wherever we can step in and really make good decisions, we really need to take advantage of. We really need to capitalize on that. You know, the more and more and more that we stumble with a certain something, a certain sin, whatever it may be, you know, the more we stumble with it, the more we sort of bow to it, not only is that opening the door, but it's putting us so far away. It's making us take a step back. It's not making us take a step forward. And I know none of us are perfect. We're going to struggle with things. We all do. But are we striving to take a step towards the Lord? Or are we okay with drifting? You know, drifting farther from Him. But I was thinking about this, and I'm like, man, you know, would Jesus do this? No. Okay, then don't do it. I mean, it's so simple. It's so much easier said than done, and I know that. You know, we all struggle. But I kept hitting this home in one of my videos, and I'm not sure why. I guess it's for somebody out there, but, you know, we really need to put the sins away, guys. I mean, that's really what I have been feeling as in general, as far as the times that we're in. You know, those things, I mean, maybe the Lord's been having lots of patience with you about this certain something for a really long time, but time is running out, and it is time to put it away. It is time to get serious, you know. People aren't getting serious, Dorothy. I don't know if you feel like that around you, but man, I feel like that around me. I really do. People are not taking it seriously. They're not taking the word seriously. They're still dabbling in sin, or, you know, they're not serious about repenting from it. It's just, it's sort of alarming, actually. I mean, what is it like around you?
Well, I don't get out much. I know what you mean. I like with my family, I don't think they understand that there's a serious side.
Yeah.
And sometimes I have to wonder if some professing Christians just really have a fundamental unbelief that God even exists.
Right.
And that He would be interested in our daily lives and struggles.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the relationship method needs to really get out there that He is real. He is a living God. He is a God of the living, not of the dead. And
Certainly.
It's possible
to
have that intimate relationship.
Yes, exactly. He's not just, you know, some sovereign judge who sits over us and strikes us down. I mean, if we need it, you know. But everything is always for our own good. We don't realize how, some of us don't realize how serious this is. And, you know, this whole thing about deception and false teaching and stuff, I mean, the sad thing is that if you don't know what your Bible says, you're not going to know when you're being deceived. If you don't pick that Bible up, that sword, that weapon that's going to save your life, if you're not willing to pick it up and read it, how are you even going to know when a false preacher is filling you up with lies? You know, you're going to be totally deceived. And you are going to go right along with the masses. Right along with the masses. Right into the mark of the beast. And it's really alarming. Because I kind of see it around me where, you know, people are just nonchalant about it, very cavalier about the whole situation, mark of the beast, da-da-da-da-da. You know, guys, it's coming. It's coming. I don't know how many times I say that or I've said that. It's the time is here. And there's a lot of people that are not aware. And there a lot of those people are professing Christians. You know, a lot of them are. And they're not going to know what to do. They're not going to have any clue what's going on because they haven't read their Bible. You know, if you guys are just okay with learning the Bible through another human, that is not going to suffice. Not at all. You know, I don't care how godly the person seems. You know, we can all have, preachers that we may listen to, or, you know, after we've done our own studies. But your time reading that Bible, that is how the Holy Spirit teaches you. That is how God reveals himself to you. That is how God teaches you his word. That's how these other men learn the word, reading their Bible. You know what I mean? I guess the real ones. But, you know, it blows my mind how many people don't read their Bible. I mean, this is literally like, guys, this is 101. You know, this is like what I learned in the beginning. And then once I started reading it, I was like, oh, you know, this thing's actually filled with lots of wisdom and lots of advice. And, wow, I think I'm learning things. I mean, it's just like, it's amazing how easy it is, and it takes off. And the Lord just starts pulling you here and there. And soon you're diving in. I mean, and then you start craving the word. You start craving it. And it's just, what a beautiful thing. But if we don't know what the word says, you know, how are we supposed to stand in that day that's coming? We won't be able to. Because, you know, the Bible, Jesus did not say this in vain. When he said, you know, if possible, even the elect would be deceived, that was not said in vain. That wasn't said for no point. You know, that's supposed to drive home. That's supposed to, I mean, for me, those words for me are terrifying, honestly, because that makes my spirit, that makes me think, oh, man, I need to know my word. I need to know this better. I need to read it every day. If I don't know what it says, you know, what if I could be deceived? You know, just the whole thought of it should be enough. Just the reading those words should be enough for people to be like, oh, I really should be reading this so I know what it says, because, you know, I know a little bit about the characteristics of the Antichrist and how everything is going to be happening in the world, but I don't really know much. Okay, so if you don't know much, you only know a little. Well, Satan knows a lot, and he's brewing up one heck of a deception, you know. And it's even said that the people that are just so ignorant, willingly ignorant like that, so many people are just going to be left to reprobate mind. The people are just going to be, the Lord's going to bring such strong delusion to the people who are not willing to open their eyes, who are not willing to take it serious now. Everybody just thinks it's a book, you know, not everybody, you know, I'm just speaking in general, but it's not, you know, it's the key to our life. We really need to hone that whole concept. And I guess starting out as a new believer, I didn't know anything about the Bible. It's kind of hard to start reading, you know, when you don't know anything. But, you know, just start with a little something. Just go to something and start. You know, I guess the Gospels are a good place to start, or the Psalms. Or I guess you could just go old school and just start in Genesis. I mean, but just start with a little bit. And then maybe do like a Google search on commentary. You know, just to get some viewpoints and just to get some jumping off points to start, you know, doing your research. I got one of those like Strong's Exhaustive Concordances so that I can look up the meanings of words. That helps me a lot. I have that app on my phone too. But just different sites. I like that site, gotquestions.org. That seemed to have been pretty helpful. But there's so much information out there, guys, and just pray about it. I have to pray about it so much just for, like, discernment and the Lord to actually teach me.
It's I really like the companion Bible. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. What Bible?
The companion Bible with notes E.W. Bullinger, that goes in, okay. He compared all the manuscripts, and he points out the differences between them, and he points out figures of speech and Hebrew idioms, customs of the day.
Yeah.
There's like over 100 appendices that he goes deeper into
that's
it.
Awesome.
And it's just all right there, and you can even get it electronically, eSword. I don't know if you've heard of eSword. but there's a companion Bible add-in for eSword now. So
that's so cool. There is so many awesome tools out there for learning. And I know it's, like, hard for people because it's, like, you don't know which way to turn. You don't know if you're walking into the lion's den of deception or if you're, you know, walking into the light sometimes. It's hard because the deception is just so thick. But just pray. We just have to pray more. We have to pray. I feel like the prayer, maybe just the whole, like everything that we are, that's expected of us, maybe we're not taking it seriously enough. You know, in just a whole. I mean, maybe people just need to realize that the Lord does want to be involved in every aspect of your life, like you were mentioning before. He does. Nothing is too mundane for him and too, you know, small for him. Nothing. You know, just the fact that you want to talk to him, just the fact that you want to give him your time, you know. I'm sure as God, that probably means a lot, considering we all walk around here how many hours of the day we don't bother talking to him. Just give him time when we have time. We need to make time is what it is, you know. When you, like, first get into a relationship with somebody and you're just all la, la, la about the person and you're, oh, I'm going to make time. You shift your whole world around for that person. You know, that's how your relationship with the Lord should be. And studying the Bible, it says study to show yourself approved. Study to show yourself approved. I mean, that's not in there in vain either. Nothing is. We're supposed to be studying. We're supposed to be studying like it was our major in college, you know. And we should be so in love with the truth that we can't get enough of it. I mean, if we needed to be anywhere in life right now, that's where we would need to be with the Lord, with the times that are upon us.
Deb, did you have any questions?
Well, I got to make a couple comments because I think back in the first hour, Lindsay, when you were talking about how it's a relationship, and you mentioned it's not just where you go to church once a week and pay respects.
Mm-hmm.
And what came to mind to me is, when do we go to church to pay respects? It's at a funeral. We go, we pay our respects to the deceased, and we're gone in an hour. And that's how a lot of people go to church. And isn't that in the dead churches where that's happening? They're just going in and paying respects like a funeral. And that's what came to me when you were saying that. So it is important that you're stressing it's a living God. He's not dead. We're not going to pay respects to the deceased.
Right.
He's a living God. This is a living, breathing relationship with him. So I'm really glad that you brought that up.
Yeah, what a good point. What a good point. We go and pay our respects to the dead. I mean,
and that's
wow.
What a lot of Christians are doing, right? That you know, you were correct in saying it. They're just Sunday morning, well, I better go pay my respects, and then I'm good
they
for
are.
The week.
They are. Well, even if, you know, let's say every other day of the week you read a devotional in the morning, and maybe you read some scripture for 5 minutes before you fall asleep at night, it's still not enough. It's still not a live relationship. I mean, no relationship would suffice if that was the case. None. You know,
yes,
you'd be divorced in, like, no time.
Well, a lot of people are doing it by rote. You know, it's like on their checklist. Okay, I got to read a devotional today, so I'll read that. Check. Now I'm a good girl. I read my devotional this morning. And again, it's paying respects. It's just every day you're paying respects to the dead.
Right.
And you're not developing a living relationship with a living God.
See, I'm to the point now where I'm like, Lord, can I do laundry tomorrow so we can hang out? You know, I'm just like, I want to read your word. I want to learn something. Can you show me something today? Like, I'm so hungry, like, wish that more Christians were like that, because, I mean, mm-hmm. what a powerful body we would be. We're not exercising all of our strengths, not even near it. We're not.
That is so true. That is so true.
Mm-hmm.
And the other aspect you brought up that I thought was very important is about deliverance and
mm-hmm.
and people needing it, but people, they're afraid. But I think it's because they've watched too much Hollywood and read too little Bible. And that is definitely key to growth. And I think what happens is once a person experiences, like you mentioned, you felt a burden come off at one point. Once a person gets one little layer off and they see the difference, they feel that difference of, I'm lighter. Something,
mm-hmm.
some unseen burden has come off of me. That starts to get them interested in more deliverance, you know,
mm-hmm.
and growing closer and getting those generational curses broken off and getting those layers peeled off and those burdens taken away. But until they've seen that, until they've had that experience, they really are blinded in that area.
Yeah.
And
really,
fear
they
blinds
are.
You as well.
Yeah, and
fear blinds a lot of people.
This Hollywood thing, you know, it started with the Exorcist movie. I mean, how many have seen that movie? My hand went up. And then, like, I was terrified and just couldn't sleep for days, you know, and that those scenes, still I can think about them in my head and how terrifying they are. But, you know, I almost feel like Hollywood did that purposely to, like,
mm-hmm.
insert demons in people or to get people so
mm-hmm.
afraid that the demons could
mm-hmm.
just overpower people. And
mm-hmm.
they're not even
mm-hmm. –
it's just ridiculous. That was another thing I was going to talk about, because I'm like, how many of these shows you guys are out right now, like, okay, The Walking Dead – or
mm-hmm.
The Vampire Diaries, or, you know, just something super gory, Dexter, about a, you know, giving glory to a serial killer. I mean,
mm-hmm.
we need to shut this crap off. And how many Christians do you know that go to church on Sunday and then go home and turn this crap on? And they look forward to watching this junk more than they do spending time with the Lord. You know,
mm-hmm.
how disgusting, really how disgusting. I mean, when you think about it, would the Lord sit down and watch that show with you? No. If the Lord wouldn't watch it, then shut it off.
Yeah.
You know, I did myself a favor and I got rid of my TVs. I don't even own one. I don't own one at all. I mean, we don't need it, you know, and we're happy without it. You know, it's not a bad thing to think about, maybe, if the TV is taking up so much of your time, or, like, you know, even if it's not gory stuff, how many
mm-hmm.
people do you know watch The Bachelorette or
yes.
The Bachelor or some
mm-hmm.
trash reality TV? I mean, I hope that Christians all around the world will soon realize that this trash was put in place purposely to brainwash us, to numb us, and to make us conform. I mean, we're just like rats being fed with cotton candy. Of course we're not going to go anywhere when we're being fed sweets. You know, we have everything we want. We're not going to go anywhere, and whatever you tell us to do, we're going to do. You know, I mean, that's the whole facade. But so many Christians are a part of it. And this horror movie business, just glorifying Satan, it's disgusting, and it is totally making people terrified of the supernatural. It's making people, you know, supernatural, where did that originate from? The Lord, you know,
mm-hmm.
the Lord is the one who's supernatural. He's the origin of it. Satan always copies him, but now Satan's, you know, taken it and made it into this horrible, terrifying thing. So even if we do have some great supernatural experience from the Lord, we're terrified and we think it's from the devil. You know, like, it just goes on and on and on. But we've become so afraid that when you're afraid and you give in to fear, guess what? You're defeated. And you probably have a spirit of fear that you need to be delivered from. You know, it's
mm-hmm.
just, and when we watch that junk, that just opens up, you know, whatever you have going on your TV, it's coming into your home.
Yeah.
That spirit's coming into your home. You're giving foothold to it, and you're also giving it foothold into your being, because your eyes are the gateway to your soul. The Bible says, don't let your eyes look upon anything that's unclean. And I'm paraphrasing there because I'm not exactly sure what it says, but it also says about your ears, you know, what we listen to is trash music, and we think it's okay. You know, we think it's innocent, and well, guess what? That's exactly what Satan wanted to do. So he's, you know, getting his way. What do you think about that? You know?
And a more dangerous thing that people do with television that they don't realize is they go to sleep with the TV on. And who knows what's playing in the background while you're sleeping, and that is getting in. And a lot of that late night programming is exceptionally objectionable.
Mm-hmm. That is such a good point. Or putting on music while you're going to bed. You know, you got to really watch what you're doing. And have you guys noticed, I don't know if you guys are on YouTube much, but have you noticed how like every 10 minutes now there's like some commercial that comes on when you're trying to listen to YouTube, and they've really hiked that up. But I have been, when I'm listening to like sermons or something, like a horror movie flick ad will come on.
Yep.
And I'm like, really? What is this crap? Like, it's just like purposely. So even if you try to put something on, you know, like Bible hymns and go to sleep, you don't know what ads are playing when you're, you know, off in dreamland and super susceptible to getting attacked.
Good point.
Mm-hmm. I've had to pray a lot lately.
There is ad software for that, Lindsay, that you can block the ads.
What's that?
I've been using it for years. It makes it so much better. But it's
I need to look into that.
Yeah, look at in your browser the add-ons. Just search for AdBlock.
AdBlock. Okay. I'll do that. So that's just disturbing, man. I'm trying to get a word from the Lord, and then all of a sudden there's this disgusting movie from hell playing, and I'm like, what is going on? It's really bad.
Yep. And it does work on YouTube as well, so.
That's awesome. I will have to check that out.
Because you have no control over the ads they show.
Right. Well, and you know, I mean, considering Satan owns everything in the media and entertainment world, I'm not surprised, I guess. You know, I know there's a lot of videos out there on the Illuminati and outing, exposing a bunch of people and da-da-da-da-da. So I probably won't put much videos out about that because there's some people that do a really good job. Maybe I'll just...
Yeah.
I don't know if how do I link them. Maybe I'll just link them.
Oh,
because there's some
you can link
ones
them.
That I've watched.
You know how to do that? Do you know how to do that in YouTube?
I think so. I'm learning. You know, I'm not the most savvy with the technology, even though I'm like, I'm 30. So you would think, because I grew up with computers, you would think that I would be more technology savvy, but I'm not. But I am slowly learning. I think
It's very easy to do. You can share a playlist, like Derek Prince. There are a few Derek Prince playlists, and there's a little click box up on the right, and you just click on that. It's check, I think, and you add it to your site. It's just a playlist, and, you know, when people play it, it goes to the original site, but they can link to it from your site. And another thing you can do is you can make playlists and add individual YouTubes into them. I did that with yours.
Okay.
There's a little, when you're listening to, when you're watching a YouTube, there's a little plus sign underneath the actual YouTube picture. You click on the plus sign, and it says add to, and then it gives you the list of your playlist, so you can create a new playlist for it. And that's how you do that. So,
okay. Cool. Thank you very much for the advice. I'll have to do
You're
that
welcome.
Then. I got so much out of that Derek Prince, another man that I really enjoy listening to is David Wilkerson. I don't know if you've ever listened to him,
yes.
But
he's got a playlist out there too.
Yeah. He's just, man, you know, I've learned so much from the Lord speaking through that man. I highly suggest people to check him out, especially new believers, because he just gives it to you. He doesn't put no sugar on it. You know, you don't need to. You don't need to.
Now, the word in its purest form is most nutritional.
Yes. Agreed.
Just like food. Unprocessed.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that funny how the Lord always gives us something to compare? It's just like another learning point.
Mm-hmm.
Just like food. I mean, he's got the world set up in such an amazing way for us to learn. If you don't get it this way, you can get it 10 other ways.
That's true.
He even does that with the radio broadcasts on my channel, on the portal, because
mm-hmm.
I have several different hosts. Deb does Healing River.
Mm-hmm.
And then Benjamin does Search the Scriptures. And now David Murray is doing Zeal for Your House. And since I'm usually running the studio, I get to hear all of them. And they like all dovetail into different aspects of the same lesson. And
mm-hmm.
these people do not confer with each other. This just happens. Constantly.
Isn't that beautiful how the Lord works?
It is.
Mm-hmm.
It is. It's awesome.
I love it when you hear a certain scripture taught on, and then you hear it mentioned multiple times again from different sources that, again, know nothing about each other. It's almost just another way of the Lord saying, hey, I want you to pay attention to this. I want you to get
mm-hmm.
this. I'm trying to drive this home. It's just so amazing how he works. Thank you, God.
Yes, he sets a wonderful table.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm done with my questions. Have you anything else you want to share before we wrap it up?
I don't think so. I think I'm good, and I guess I'm thankful, very thankful for you allowing me to come on and chat with you. It's really great, and I pray and hope that there's somebody out there somewhere that really is touched by the things that I put out on this channel, and really hope it just brings people to Christ. Glory to God. It's all for the glory of the Lord.
Well, I've enjoyed it immensely, and I can tell Deb has.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you guys are great. It's fun talking to you.
Deb.
Yes.
Why don't you take us out with some prayer?
All right. Why don't we do that? Dear Lord, Heavenly Father, we come before you tonight with thanksgiving and with praise. And we thank you, Lord, for our sister Lindsay, who's come up so young in the faith and willing to speak out and touch other young women and so many other people in ways that we may not even know in this lifetime. But Lord, we're so thankful to have this venue of the radio and the internet to broadcast to, and we just want to thank you for that and for all the hard work that Dorothy's doing. But mostly, Lord, tonight I'd like to lift up all of our listeners, Lord, for blessings on their life, that they will be blessed from what they've heard in this show, and that they will be spurred on to move forward and delve deeper into your word and grow closer with you, Lord, in a living relationship. that they will start to see the beauty in the living God and having a living relationship, Lord. And we pray that your light will shine out on all of the listeners, that you will draw the hearts of those who need to hear this message to come and listen to these shows where they can get the truth and the pure word. And we just thank you, Lord, for all that you have done in all of our lives, that you have brought us together, which is a blessing of fellowship. And we thank you for every person that listens, that writes into the shows and needs prayer, Lord, because we're there for everybody. So we just want to thank you and pray blessings on all. And may your peace be with those who are struggling, who have not known peace. Oh, Lord, give them a taste of your peace that they may taste and see. And then they'll know what Lindsay's been talking about, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 All right. Well, time to say good night, everyone. Good night, Lindsay.
Good night, Dorothy. Good night, Deb. Thank you so much.
Good night.
Good night,
God
Deb.
God bless you, ladies.
Father bless everyone. Good night.
Good night.